If you're someone who has a passion for cut flowers, our environment, and wants to make the world more beautiful, you're in the right place. Whether you're growing flowers for pleasure or profit, I'm on a mission to empower flower enthusiasts and professionals to help change the world around them. Whether you're just starting out and need a helping hand, or are looking to scale a substantial flower business, I'm your cut flower woman. Welcome to the Cut Flower Podcast. So I am so delighted to welcome Patrick Venuccio, and I'm sure I pronounced that incorrectly. I'm sure Patrick will pronounce it correctly for me, to our podcast today. Patrick is known on Instagram as the Frenchy Gardener and has a really loyal and active following of nearly 900,000. Patrick has a feed built on knowledge and education and helping others. He's described as an urban gardener. He's keen to show us how it's easy to grow on balconies, patios and terraces, and dispel the myth about needing lots of space. So Patrick, please tell our listeners a little bit about you. I know I've done my little bit of research and I've been digging that you've obviously got a corporate career the same as mine, and that you're in marketing the same as mine, which feels all very odd. Tell us about how did this all happen and where you are today.
Yeah, sure. But firstly, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be a part of this podcast. And yeah, you pronounce actually my last name perfectly, like Patrick Vernuccio. So it's perfect. So all good. And so, yeah, I'm glad to be here. And yeah, as you said, was really about marketing. So I worked during 16 years in marketing in a big corporation such as Ubisoft, PlayStation, Netflix. And yeah, I really enjoyed my time there because it was a lot about creativity. It was a lot about telling stories also. So yeah, I really enjoyed. But 1 year and a half ago, I really decided to totally switch my life and to follow my passion, which is urban gardening. And yeah, now I'm really fully dedicated to this, to create content about balcony gardening and show to people that, yeah, it's possible, to grow a lot of food and also welcome back biodiversity in our life and also in our cities.
Wow. Where are you living now, Patrick?
I live in Berlin, Germany. So, yeah, it's cold right now. It's super cold.
Well, actually, we have a really sunny day near London.
Enjoy.
And, yeah, but it's really vital to understand that urban gardening in cities like London, mm-hmm. for instance. I had a podcast visitor quite recently who was interested in bees. Mm-hmm. She kept hives of bees across London and about trying to increase biodiversity, because obviously bees need to eat things too.
Yeah.
And the more that we grow on balconies and containers and in small spaces, and there was a calculation where she added up all the amount of small spaces in London and how massive it could become if you added it all together. So it's kind of like,
I love
mad.
That. I exactly love what you share, because this is also, now that I'm fully in balcony gardening, every time I go in a city, I always look up, at all the balconies and the rooftops. And yeah, I'm so sad, when I see all these empty spaces, that are gray, full of concrete, and that are not welcoming plants, and it's really for me, I really call this space dead zones. Actually, quoi, it's really a dead zone. There is nothing living on it, and there should be something living on it.
What made you get interested in it? Did you just start it, or did you just? Because you're a marketeer in a very big corporate environment and you don't have a lot of time because you're busy working. What was the thing that switched you over to even growing? What made you do it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm still asking myself now, actually. But it's it's really totally randomly, actually. It was when I was back in the days, I was living in Amsterdam yeah, I just wanted to buy some random flowers for my balcony, like most people do, when you have a few sunny days in spring and you want some, some nice flowers and colors on your balcony. And what happened is that I just saw at the entrance of the shop seeds of lettuce, radish, tomatoes, aubergine. And I was like, wow, why not giving it a try, and why not trying? And of course, like, I think my brain and my headspace was already like looking towards failure, meaning like, okay, Patrick, you don't know anything about that. You don't know anything about seeds. You don't know anything about gardening. Your supermarket basil dies after a week, so it's not for you. But I don't know, this day, like, something else pushed me to try, and I tried, and it did work, actually. It's just that I threw in this pot like way too many seeds, because I didn't know back in the day, you know, if one seed of radish would give birth to one radish or to a bunch of radish. And even same, when I was looking at lettuce, I was like, how is it possible that such a huge lettuce is growing from just one seed? Maybe you have to throw out several ones. So that's how I started. And after, I learned a lot by doing.
Well. So you've got a massive following now. So people are obviously interested in what you've got to say. So Our listeners will be interested in your YouTube channel. Tell us more about what your YouTube channel does.
Yeah, sure. But like, firstly, like, as you said, it's a total surprise for me, you know, to see so many people following the Frenchy Gardener, because I never would have expected this, like, to be super honest. And I think it's the beauty of social media. It's to also connect people together. And right now, like, so on Instagram, but also on YouTube, I'm basically like sharing educational content. So it goes from how to compost on a small space, to growing tomatoes, or tips about plant care, or growing your own ginger or your own turmeric in pots. So it's all about that. And I think really love to focus also on what are the urban resources we can reuse around us to grow our food. So how, you know, to reuse dead leaves, how to reuse grass clippings, how to make your own nettle manure, because you don't need a huge garden to do that, you know, like, it's just, you do everything at a smaller scale, at a balcony scale, but it works.
Yeah. And to be honest, when you're growing things like radishes or tomatoes or lettuces, how many do you need? Because they come, you know, quite quickly together, and everybody's got too many lettuces or too many radishes or too many tomatoes in a normal garden, and they're giving them all away.
That's true.
Actually, in an urban garden, you're much better off because you can successionally plant them and eat what you grow. So it's kind of like a much better lesson to us all that we actually...
I fully agree.
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I fully agree. It's like I would say it's smaller scale, but also like, I think it's more manageable. So, you know, like if you have a smaller space, it's also less work. And as you said, you know, you can make different like crops rotation, you know, like in a season. So you always have something to eat, and it's never too much, you know, in abundance also, quoi. Also, like this year, like I was struggling at some point with too many aubergines or too many tomatoes at the same time. But yeah, I wouldn't say too many. Like I can't complain about that. but yeah, like my friends were happy for sure.
It's interesting, isn't it? I worked with somebody when I launched my first seed to vase course in COVID, teaching people how to grow flowers. There was a lady who joined the course who lived in Brentford in a London apartment, in a really, really urban, no balcony to speak of, but she did have a rooftop that the council then said that she could have a raised bed. Mm. So she built this raised bed on the rooftop, and she had lots of containers. Boy, what she grew was amazing. And just for her whole mental health, her well-being, at that point, I think she was made redundant, and she thought, what am I going to do with my life? And she used to go up on the rooftop and potter around and think, well, I could do this and I could do that. And maybe I'd do, you know, it gave her confidence to do it. So actually she did something completely different.
Yeah.
And it was all to do with having a raised bed on a rooftop. And that was it.
Yeah. And I love this story, because I really think it's so true. You know, it's because like when we live, you know, in our big cities right now, most of the time, like our brain is always full of information. You're always focused on, how fast I can go from point A to B. After you want to buy food, you don't buy food, but you buy products, you know, you go like in a grocery store and you just buy products and you fill your basket with products. And I think we never take the time to have some slow time, slow life, and also some slow food. And I think that just a raised bed, a little raised bed, or just also like some pots on a windowsill can also, you know, help us to, just take a break, quoi, like take a break and observe how nature can be generous. Learn back what is patience also, because gardening is definitely about patience. You know, it's not like one click and you have food instantly. So I think, yeah, it's just about like rooting ourselves back, you know, with our true essence and also our connection with nature.
100%. I've done a lot of work around and talked to a lot of people about mental health and well-being and getting out in nature and growing. And, you know, there is stuff in the soil. We know it's proven. We know there are massive connections with it, and even 10 minutes a day. So going back to balcony garden, 10 minutes is enough. And you just go out and water and a bit of weeding. And to be honest, those first seeds that you plant, and even now, 13 years later of gardening, if I've got tomatoes and I've got a tomato and it goes and it grows, I'm still excited. That excitement of something turning into something never goes. Absolutely never goes. My seeds germinate and I count the percentage rate of germination I've achieved, and I can't, it never goes. I'm just not, I don't think you'd ever lose that when it first starts sprouting. I don't think you'd lose that.
Yeah. Honestly, I can totally agree, quoi. And I think actually sometime, I don't know like what you think about that, but I think after years, you know, like you also like sometime have like a more confidence, which is good. But sometimes you also can have overconfidence, you know. And every time I kind of losing my humility, or when I have higher expectation towards nature, most of the time the results are not there. And I like that, you know, because it's always like putting me back in my seats, you know, just like calm down. You're just an enabler, but you're not the one who is deciding what will grow or not. And I love that. There is always like this, improvisation or this uncertainty that is beautiful also in gardening.
Failure in gardening. We fail every year. We grow things that we wish we hadn't. Like why I would grow African Prince calendula in bright orange, which I have no market for. I have no idea. I've still only just learned that after 13 years. So I grow things I don't really want to grow. I've learned that and I still do it. Yeah. I fail on things that I don't support properly, or that I haven't watered them enough, or I get mildew on my delphiniums in the tunnel. There is a failure daily, I would say. And I thought, okay, fine, move on. Let's move on. I mean, last year we had such terrible weather in the UK of minus 10 that anything tender shrub-like, you know, your eucalyptus, your pittosporums, we lost the whole lot. Like, I mean, you know, 100 eucalyptus would have gone, or the pittosporum would have gone. And so you learn that this year, if that's going to happen, you get some fleece pretty quickly. And that's 13 years after it. So it's kind of like, I just go with failure's fine.
Exactly. And I think also it's our duty to adapt also, you know, and when it comes like to climate change, for sure, like, you know, this season I saw also in Berlin, like a lot of variations in the temperature. But also like super sudden changes, you know, in terms of you are on your balcony and everything is fine. And suddenly, like, even if you check the weather forecast, you have a huge storm coming, that is totally unexpected, not announced on any weather forecast channel. And you're like, yeah, you just have to surrender, you know, to it. And after you just have to adapt, anticipate the most you can. But after you just have to adapt with what you have. And I think this is also good, you know, because in our life, everything is sometimes so framed. Everything has to be so organized. It's always like tick tack, tick tack, tick tack, you know, every time, quoi. And I think in gardening, that's not this. And I think the beauty is also in there.
We will need to adapt to climate change. I did read that in 2050, we're not that far away, that the climate in the UK will be very similar to Barcelona.
Wow.
And that we would have almost a Mediterranean climate. And that some of our apple trees that are our native species and fruit trees will no longer be suitable. So if we're planting a tree today, we should probably quite think about planting a Mediterranean tree and not a British native apple tree, which is a little bit scary. But it's true. We've got to be ready for that.
Yeah, no, and like, and 100%, you know, and I think that that's also a fact is that for sure, you know, our forest right now with the climate changing, are slowly dying also. Like, as you said, you know, there are native species that which no longer have like the right temperature for them to be healthy and to thrive. So there will be also like a huge change in the coming years in our garden, like small and big gardens, but also for sure like in nature overall. And I think our forest, like we need to anticipate right now how to make this forest like healthy again with other varieties and other species.
Yeah, definitely. So what three things would you give as pieces of advice? I've got a balcony, I've got limited space, I've got some containers. What would be my top three things that I should grow on my balcony?
So to start with, I think, honestly, for me, I think it's important to have like probably easy ones that have also a growth cycle that is a little bit short, you know, like so... Starting with tomatoes is a bit complicated in my opinion because it takes, you know, like 4 to 6 months. And I think that if you start, for instance, with radishes, if you start with lettuce, these ones are basically will show you like quick results. So I would call them like quick wins, you know, to give you more confidence and to give you a little bit a kick, you know, to grow your curiosity even more. And then to grow other species. So I would say, yeah, honestly, yeah, radish, lettuce are for me the easiest one to start with. And after, I would say, in terms of kitchen herbs, mint. Like mint is honestly like it can thrive, you know, in a small pot. And actually, it's way better to plant mint in pots versus in your garden because it can invade your garden like crazily. So yeah, in a pot, at least you control basically the growth of the plant. So yeah, I would really say like lettuce, radish, and mint are for me the good ones to start with and to learn basics.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
A small business. Do reels get you reeling? Is SEO just a three letters put together? Content planning something you know you should be doing? Just never get round to it. Do join our Growth Club online. What is it? It's a supportive community. It's all about growing your business. It provides trainings and guest speakers join us every month. Is it time to work on your business and not in it? The link for more information is in the show notes. Okay, and you've got a massive Instagram following. Well done. We all know that it's about content and it's hard. It is really hard.
Yeah.
And you've got to be on it all the time and you've got to have good, valuable content and it's got to be educational and you've got to speak to your audience and all of those things. We know that from marketing, don't we? If you've got a channel that it's got to work pretty hard. So what would be your recommendations? How have you got to where you are on Instagram?
Wow, that's a big question and a great one. And I'm not sure I have like clear answers to this, but I have like some my intuition tells me that for sure it's a lot of work. I mean, it's about consistency. It's about like posting regularly to keep also like people interested in what you share, and so that the content that you create continues to show up in the feed of your audience. So I think consistency. After, it's a lot of work, like, like, you know, like a 50-second reel can sometimes take minimum 4-5 hours and sometimes way more. And I think it's there is a lot of attention to details also in the sound, in the image, the angles that you shoot. And it's also how to innovate, you know, like sometimes... how to innovate your way of telling a story. And coming to that point, I think what truly works is also telling stories. So I was really before telling stories about to promote video games or to promote TV shows. And I think now I'm telling stories about plants and nature. So I'm really trying to put myself in the shoes of somebody having a small balcony, living urban life. What are the needs of this person and how can I answer to these needs with easy solution? So an example is, for example, my reel on the what I call the Basel trauma. So this supermarket Basel that looks amazing in supermarkets. And once it's at home after like 1 week, it dies. And I think, yeah, but it's because like everybody knows about this Basel trauma in a way. So I'm just trying to come from a relatable story and after share a bit my experience and share some tips on how to make this Basel survive and even multiply. So, yeah, I would say there is important storytelling. Like it's crucial, in my opinion, to grow, to have a big account. But now, let's say I'm always super humble. Also, you know, like because like this big Instagram account, like it's also something that that can totally change over time. You know, so you continuously have to work super hard to make it working and also to make it I think useful for people. So most of the time I'm more sharing stuff that people want me to tell versus actually sharing what I would really want to tell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a mix of both, I would say.
Yeah, it's really, really impressive. I mean, I'm doing lots of reels and lots of content, and sometimes things work and some things don't work. I was really fortunate that I had a piece of content. I have no idea at all why this piece of content went viral. It was very beautiful. The angles were beautiful and it had purple verbena in it. And so from a aesthetic point of view, it looked lovely. It had a bit of trending audio. And so far it's hit 1.7 million. I have no idea why this reel in particular, out of everything else that I do, hit 1.7 million. I was kind of like, so I think consistency, yes. Lots of content, yes. Might hit lucky, great. Mm. But telling a story and also, yeah, it was aesthetically pleasing. So it was like, whoa, people thought that was beautiful. And that was fine. So, and that's still being done today. It's like, you know, a month later and people are still looking at it.
Yeah, and honestly, that's so true. And I can tell you that exactly the same on my side. I think every time I share a content, before posting it, I'm like, okay, I think this one is going really to perform because I'm sure it's going to perform. Most of the time, it never performs. And I think it's exactly like you said, like sometimes, like, you see, content, like, like booming, and you're like, huh? Like never ever.
I know.
Thought it would perform. So I think again, you know, like, it's also teaching us to stay humble and to also
100%.
And to just say like, no one cracked the code, you know, and I think it's just like, yeah, if you stay true to yourself and you continue to work hard, improve, tell stories, yeah, at some point, a content, you know, like may go viral and inspire a lot of people.
It was unexpected. Weird.
Yeah.
I think it's like betting on the horses. Because I think it's a bit of a game and I think don't take it too seriously. So the day before yesterday, I thought, right, this is it. I'm going to put three pieces of content out, three reels. I'm going to choose some trending audio. The first piece of trending audio only has 300 people used it so far. The second bit of trending audio had 11,000. And the third bit of trending audio had 30,000. Which one and at what speed are these going to go? So I did it and I've watched it. It's really interesting because at the moment they're proportional. Based on how many views that they had historically. I thought maybe the 300, if I'd chosen a really good bit of audio, that actually in time, that because obviously that 300, if I'm on a winning horse and that one's going to win the Grand National and people are going to get hold of it, then that'll be a flyer. Or it could just completely die. So I quite enjoy trying to play a little bit with it.
Yeah.
But there's no answer.
No, but so, exactly. And I think like sometimes, you know, the truth that you can or the conclusion, you know, that you can draw on a certain time can be true during 1 month. And after the next month also, the algorithm is changing and then you need to do different things. And I think, definitely it's it's like this. Otherwise, it would be too easy, you know. Like
yeah.
So yeah, for sure. But
it's a game. But I quite enjoy it. But I think you've got to treat it like provide good content, provide it right for your audience, get it out there. Some things will fail, and some things will really win.
Yeah.
And if you're consistent and keep going, it will keep going.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the in my opinion, the biggest mistake would be to create content when you have the feeling that you are not true to yourself, you know, like when you are like saying like, oh wow, okay, this content performs super well, it's a plant hack, etc. Okay, I should make the same, and then you change your style, you change like the way you want to explain, and people sense it, you know, that's not you. So I think like I think also people are following gardeners for their personality also, you know, and for what they share, quoi. And I think it's important also to not tell fake news, to basically don't tell, you know, any bullshit, you know, like when it comes to, oh, look at that, like open a mango and after you will grow a huge mango tree and you will have mangoes at home. Yeah. Okay. Great. You know, like, I don't want this on my page because it's not true. So that's all, quoi. And if other people wants to make content about that and get million views, fine. But you get million views for what? Like to just say
what's
like something.
The point?
Exactly. Exactly. So.
No, mine's all about, I have a very loyal audience. I'm really pleased with that, and a very engaged audience. And having just been in hospital, it was quite interesting because I did a reel about going in hospital. And then I did one when I was leaving hospital, which was lovely. But while I was there, which was nearly 2 weeks, the amount of people who contacted me on my direct messages and the amount of people, and it would be the middle of the night, so it'd be 3 o'clock in the morning, you get all these really lovely messages. Mm. And you think, wow, there is this Instagram community out there that actually has watched me going in and waiting for me to come out. And the video of me leaving hospital got more views than anything I've ever done. Now I'm a gardener. You know, it was kind of like, wow, you know, you've gone through a journey. Of course I had. And you come out the other side and I did a reel of me leaving hospital. I felt like the queen. And I had this car pick me up, and the amount of people who viewed that was amazing. And I think, whoa, hold on a minute. It's about personality, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's about personality. And for sure. And I think, as you said, there is like, you know, like a true sense also of community. And I think it's so rewarding. Like when you have like people like, answer, like saying to you and sending you, you know, nice messages when you have challenges. And also, it's also cool to just have messages on a daily basis to say like, oh, by the way, I started to grow some lettuce in a pot after watching your video. Oh, my son is saying green love to you every time we harvest a tomato or that kind of stuff. And I'm like, that's so cute. And I think this is also what keeps us going. Yeah, like, it's about like, building a community and being healthy with this community. So
definitely. So what's been your biggest challenge up to date, do you think?
Wow, my biggest challenge. So gardening wise, right? Or content creation wise? Gardening wise, okay. Mm-hmm. I would say gardening wise, biggest challenge was anticipating the sudden weather change of this year. It was really a challenge. Like and it made me super sad. Like sometimes to see tomato plants that were like super healthy, growing extremely well, and in 10 minutes having so many plants destroyed and not healthy anymore. So I would say like honestly, I only felt this huge challenge this year. Like the previous year, it was. Yeah, it was okay. There were some changes. But this year, I think it was really tough. And I think, for me, the challenge was to protect, you know, like the balcony, because, I mean, in a garden, you can have trees, you know, making a barrier against a strong wind, for instance. On the balcony, you're really exposed to wind. So you really have to anticipate even more how to stack up your plants, how to use smartly the balcony railings, what is the structure also that will be resistant enough. So yeah, like the biggest challenge has been really this weather and the strong winds. Like that's the biggest challenge on the balcony, I would say.
So what next for you? Because you've obviously written some ebooks, you've got a YouTube channel, you've got an Instagram channel, you produce all this amazing content. What's next year hold for you? Have you got more books? What? Tell our listeners where they can find you and what your actually plans are.
Yeah, sure. But thank you. And yeah, but like next year will be a total new adventure. Because firstly, so yeah, I wrote a book in German and a book in French. Next year, I hope that I will have the confirmation soon for a book in English. Probably next year that will be like my book on balcony gardening in English. So it's going to be, I think, super cool because like a lot of people ask me about this book in English. So it's coming shortly. It will be cool. And I think also, for my life, it's going to be a total new adventure because I'm going to leave my balcony garden in Berlin. And next year, I'm going to travel, in Europe. I'm going to go to France. I'm going to go to Italy, to Switzerland, to Portugal, to Spain. And I'm going to visit with my, wife and my 9 months old son, all these countries to meet inspiring people, to visit beekeepers, to visit micro farms, to visit like so many different places. We hope to find our next home on the way.
It might be. How exciting.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. It's I'm a bit afraid to be honest, but I think it's going to be cool. And next March, I will spend 3 months and a half in Italy, there I will really build a huge rooftop garden. Plus, I will have a little garden to make some experiments. So I think it's going to be cool for people to follow how to make this balcony from scratch in 3 months, you know.
Wow. Well, you have to come and see my farm. Come and see tulip season. I suppose we kick off in middle of April in tulip season and go through until November. So we planted so far 30,000 tulips. So we go mad on tulips and then we move through the rest of the season, you know, and obviously end up with dahlias and croissants at the end of the year. Mm. But it would be lovely if you made your way close to London. We're about 30 minutes from London.
Honestly, with pleasure. I can tell you. If I have the time, I would love to visit and to meet you and to see your growing space for sure.
We'll be great with a 9-month-old baby.
Yeah, for sure.
My children are older; they're like early 20s, late 20s, and we keep dreaming. Although we never tell them that, and hopefully they never listen. We'd love to be grandparents, but that's a few years off. But a 9-month-old baby would be fantastic, so it's not a problem.
But that's cool. Really a year of new adventure and encounter. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
So people already know, we'll put in the show notes where to follow you on Instagram. We've already said your Instagram handle at the Frenchy Gardener, then your ebooks and your YouTube channel. And that would be fabulous. People could just follow you. We can see what you're doing. Obviously, as a flower grower, I'd love to grow vegetables. I don't do enough. So my 2024 plan was to grow more vegetables and obviously I'm trying to do them. I'm sitting here in my study now looking at what I would call the Mediterranean garden, which is hilarious because I'm living just outside London. But it has an olive tree. It has an Italian olive tree, which it loves the shelter. I've just moved all the fruit trees indoors because I'm thinking about the winter. I've moved my pelargoniums in my study. You should see the floor of my study is completely covered with pelargoniums. But there is perfect in terms of pots because it's close to the kitchen. You can grow your herbs, grow your lettuce, grow your tomatoes. Don't have to go miles to collect your vegetables for what you're going to cook with.
Yeah.
So my 2024 commitment on this podcast is that I will be growing vegetables. But in order to start, I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea how to grow vegetables, which people always find quite amazing. And that I will follow your YouTube channel and I will wait for your English real book to come out in English.
So cool. And
I will follow you with, all of your, it's so informative. Your Instagram is so informative because at the one you did on basil and I went, "Woo, hold on a minute." So I think a lot of people need to head over there and have a look, follow you, so cool. And then wait for the book to come out. That would be fabulous.
No, but thanks so much. And yeah, like, so if you want to grow vegetable, I can help you. And I want to basically grow more flowers, so you can probably help me.
We can swap. Flowers is not a problem. Vegetables, it's funny. Yeah. It's funny. So thank you very much for coming over today, Patrick. I really appreciate it. I could speak all day. And I will follow you with absolute passion. And we will hook up again. And I think you're doing an amazing thing. Go off, travel, see the world. Go off in Europe. I was just sitting here on the sofa planning my European holiday. And we're sort of sitting, is it Corsica or shall we go to Sardinia? Or what about, what about Spain? And you've got so much option. Actually, what I might do is just book a villa for a month, invite my friends down to come on various weeks and work from there. Mm. So you going off doing the whole sort of Europe thing, I think is extremely exciting.
Yeah, but thanks so much. Well, we'll see how it will develop. But for sure, I'm excited. And first time I'm doing this in my life, so it's definitely putting me out of my comfort zone. But we'll see how it goes. And thank you also for allowing me to share a bit more my story and to be a part of this podcast. And it was a pleasure for me. And just like you said, I could have stayed also much longer to talk about like many more topics, but that was really cool. So thanks a lot.
Brilliant, Patrick. Thanks very much. And I'll hook up with you soon. Take care.
Yeah, you too.
I look forward to next week's episode. Please don't forget to subscribe and rate and review on your podcast app. We do have some wonderful free resources on our website at thecutflowercollective.co.uk. We also have two free Facebook communities, which we'd love you to join. For farmers or those who want to be flower farmers, we have Cut Flower Farming, Growth and Profit in Your Business. And our other free Facebook group is Learn with the Cut Flower Collective for those starting out on their flower journey. All of the links are below. I look forward to getting to know you all.